one you just introduced 15. And try and give us a short presentation. We don't want a very long presentation because people have read the report. And we need one more time for discussion and questions and clarification, that kind of thing. It is 20 past 3. We should go on to about, say, 4:30, 4:45 at the latest. I'm aware that some people are flying back to Johannesburg. I don't know. I suppose you did. What time is your flight? 6 o'clock. Then
we're in a situation where we could do with a little bit of joy and celebration in our lives. As this report was being prepared, the IMC staff board and key stakeholders were meeting to discuss the strategy for the next 3 crucial years. The nation's mood is being strongly influenced by a number of issues, the succession battle, about which the IMC can do little, and the 2 polarizing forces of the increasing negativity around crime and the positive influence and hope that the FIFA 2010 World Cup is providing. We feel that we can play an important role in these areas. One of the discussions that we'd like to have with the Portfolio Committee is the balance between international and domestic, because for the next 3 years we feel there's a huge domestic job to be done, but we're the International Marketing Council, so there's a bit of a dichotomy in our own heads as to what sort of balance there should be. The frightening headlines on crime have become the dominant story in international media, a story that is difficult to refute and impossible to spin. The reality is that this is the biggest issue inhibiting tourism and investment in South Africa. There has been a distinctive swing to negative reporting on the country in the past 6 months. This has been largely driven by crime, the ANC succession debate, the state of 2010 readiness, and the status of Zimbabwe. Crime is driving international companies to reconsider South Africa postings for their staff, and this is a real threat to the brand. We're seeing headlines talking about conferences being cancelled in Cape Town because of crime. It is our opinion that we cannot allow 2010 to become tainted with this message. We cannot afford to allow negative issues to get in the way of us maximizing this marketing opportunity. We need to mobilize South Africans to reconsider the values that make us a great country, to alienate negative influences, and to create a sense of unity. We need to create a tipping point in positive behavior. Doing things the same old way is going to get the same old result, which is just not good enough. We don't want to get, as the IMC, we don't want to get into the habit of taking last year's budget, dividing it up in the same percentage splits without challenging the results or the thinking. We also believe that a new sense of urgency has to be brought to the process. The perception and reality of the crime situation in our country is creating what we call in marketing terms a burning platform or a crisis. To this end, all staff have been asked to participate in a zero-sum game, to challenge everything that we do, to ensure that we use our national treasury money as well as we can, and to mobilize South Africans to show the world exactly what we can do in 950 days' time. So at our strategy session, which we held last Thursday, we considered the following. Are we making enough of a difference? Should we be marketing internationally when the domestic task is so pressing? What work done in the past 6 years is the most effective and the least effective? And let us ensure that we invest taxpayers' money in the best possible manner. Importantly, what do we want the people of the world to say about South Africa in 2010? How do we mobilize South Africans to reentrench the values of Ubuntu and deliver the best World Cup the world has ever seen? And it's not in my report because we weren't finished by the time this report had to be written. But what came out of the strategy session largely was that the IMC is going to focus, we can't focus on crime because that's not our issue, and we can't really focus on 2010 because that's the LOC issue. What we can do is we can create a campaign of active citizenry. How should you behave if you're a South African? If you're a driver on the roads, let people in. It's about teaching people with dignity and respect. It's about fundamental, simple, simple, simple values. So that's the campaign we're looking at for next year. It's really just to unite people around the common values of South Africa. And I think the sort of stuff we've seen in the last week around the rugby, where we really see people uniting together. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. Even if you don't have a clue about the game, it didn't matter. It was about the spirit and the heart in the country. And I think that's what we're trying to latch on to. And we think we can play a fantastic role there in mobilizing South Africans just to create a sense of hope as we look forward to 2010. So that's where the focus is going to be as we move forward. Since we met last, the IMC team has produced another piece of work of which we're extremely proud. We call it the We've Done It Before campaign, and it's eliciting exactly the results that we wanted. The ad was brought about as our resistance to the negativity that prevailed in the marketplace about our ability to deliver on 2010 and the overwhelming discourse on crime, restrictive labor laws, and other challenges. We thought it was time to remind South Africa how far we have come and what barriers have already been overcome. The campaign is the true story of a nation that is no stranger to overcoming odds that appear to be overwhelming. And as we've shown time and time again, the greater the odds, the better we seem to do. The campaign demonstrates in a very inspiring, moving, and emotional way the idea that South Africans are a powerful and resilient nation. We did, against all odds, achieve victory for democracy and freedom. The campaign is comprised of two building blocks. The first will set the theme around the theme of We've Done It Before. The second phase will be a fact file about our capabilities as a nation and will be presented both on TV and radio. And at this point, I'm going to ask Sydney if he can just play the ad for you, please. And a copy is actually at the door for you. No, it's not the next one. Next one, should be thanks.
South Africa is a nation united in excellence.
Sorry, it's the next one on the reel.
South Africa is a nation united in action. South Africa is a nation united in action, running the same river.
Number four. Sorry about that. You can. you have seen them all. Yes, over the years. Some of them, the first one was Today I Woke Up in South Africa. Then for 10 years of freedom we did this drumming ad. And then we've just done the new one. Okay. That's the end of that one. No. I'll try and fix it at the end. Last time we were here, we started to talk to you about corporate partnerships and how we were trying to get private sector money to support us. But we're finding that these partnerships are more difficult to pass than we anticipated. We've had fairly fruitful discussions with Eskom, Nando's, PricewaterhouseCoopers, Microsoft, and various other companies, and we hope to see more progress on this in the coming months. For the CRC, that's Tyrone's division, and the Information Resource Centre, the first quarter of the 2007-08 financial year has been marked by strong achievement in ongoing and long-standing activities and significant forays into new territory. In terms of new territory, the most significant development has been the conceptual development of a brand South African media club that will provide an up-to-date, comprehensive information service to South African and world media in the lead-up to the Confederation Cup and the 2010 FIFA World Cup, taking advantage of the unprecedented communication and marketing opportunities these global events present to the country and to the continent. The media club will focus its attention on the generic positioning of South Africa, complementing 2010 specific communication by the LOC, government, South African tourism, and other key messengers. The Brand South Africa Media Club will initially only take the form of a virtual environment or web portal, but will be expanded to a full house media service in the host cities during the event itself. I have to say, though, right up front, that that depends on international independent sponsorship. We don't have the money within our budget to set up 9 media centres around the country, but we're working towards that. Written content will be supplemented by graphic and eventually audiovisual content. The GCIS has undertaken to share its extensive photo archive with Media Club, as has South African Tourism. The web-based service will be complemented by media tours to South Africa by international media reps, whilst Media Club will also support media tours originated by partners such as GCIS, South African Tourism, the LOC, and others, in order to encourage media to develop as broad an understanding as possible of present-day South Africa. The big vision on the Media Club, we're starting off quite small because we're having to put the seed capital in, but the big vision on Media Club is that eventually we will translate all of the major stories every week into 16 different languages so that everybody, all the major nations who are looking for information on South Africa leading up to the World Cup will be able to do cut and paste of ready-made stories, largely social stories, because those are the stories that newspapers will want, business and social stories. That's where our focus is going to be. A number of significant events and developments that generated or were at least expected to generate international media interest in the country were covered by the CRC. In the last few months, these have included President Mbeki's appointment as the mediator in the Zimbabwe situation, the G8 summit in Germany, South Africa's role in the UN Security Council, the WAN, World Association of Newspapers Congress in Cape Town, a FIFA inspection visit on the World Cup preparations, the public service strike, developments in the HIV and AIDS arena, and safety and security. Our communication managers continue to concentrate on a number of activities that fall within the area of the respective government clusters for which they assume responsibility. Our inputs on crime, the environment, and the economy are being used regularly by various government clusters. We're also increasingly being asked to manage the media around premier and ministerial visits overseas, and have become an integral part of the IRPS cluster looking at the totality of how government markets the brand internationally. Rapid response has helped to draft responses to critical commentaries in the Singapore Straits Times and the UK's The Sun. We are an integral part of the team dealing with responses around the release of crime statistics. The Information Resource Centre continued with the daily monitoring of the international and local media for positive stories and other reported evidence of innovation, foreign direct investment, and other aspects of South Africa's social and economic development. We also sourced various positive reports and surveys on South Africa that were used by the Marketing Department and Stakeholder Relations Department for possible incorporation into IMC communication, including ads, media releases, and public presentations. The IRC continued with the maintenance of its InMagic database, the repository of information which provides material that is used in the development of Brand South Africa communication, such as ads, the South African story factbook, newsletters, and press releases. As we've become more and more involved in the provinces, we have also researched and compiled profiles of the South African provinces of Limpopo, Northwest, highlighting the economy, business, history, and heritage, sites and sounds, government, and people. These profiles are being used in the preparation of marketing strategies for the provinces. We've taken a strategic decision to collaborate with key government departments on future missions to enable alignment, consistency in how the country is marketed, and capacity to leverage economies of scale. This year, we have collaborated on 3 missions, to the United States with DTI, the Gulf countries, and last month, a few weeks ago, to India. The emphasis this year has been placed on forming partnerships and collaborations for the IMC to be able to expand its footprint and maximize capacity to leverage on the 2010 event. It is only through economies of scale and synchronization of efforts that South Africa will benefit. We believe the IMC is best positioned to facilitate this collaboration between key stakeholders. To this extent, we've been able to steer, with the support from GCIS, the 2010 National Communication Partnership. Under this umbrella, a few projects have been successfully supported. We ran a conference in August. We've done 2 book projects, Africa the Good News, which is in the process of being written at the moment, and we've just finished 50 Reasons Why South Africa Will Host a Successful World Cup, which is about to move into circulation. We did that with sponsorship from the FIFA LOC and other FIFA partners. We've managed to bring on board GCIS, the City of Johannesburg, and the LOC to support the Media Club concept, and through this partnership have been able to conduct two very successful media tours around our state of readiness. In fact, much of the good news around 2010 came from the press conferences that we were running, and that's because we just felt that there was a gap where international media particularly were not being invited to go to the stadiums to drive through Soweto to see what was happening, see the development, see the health train. And so we've taken it upon ourselves to kind of fill what we think is a bit of a vacuum in terms of this communication. And I must say that the press coverage we got was fantastic. All the major newspapers ran big pictures of the stadiums and what was happening. And I think it shifted people's perceptions quite dramatically as we did that. So we're going to continue doing that work. We've agreed to partner with the Department of Foreign Affairs, South African Tourism and GCIS in developing an information toolkit for all of our embassies around the world, an initiative that we all believe must receive urgent attention, as our embassies are going to be the first point of contact for many people as they start making inquiries about our country. We have agreed to pool resources, and all departments will be contributing towards the development of this toolkit, with IMC providing guidance on messaging as well as the look and feel aspect. The main benefit from this collaboration will be consistency in how South Africa is marketed, which is what we've been trying hard to achieve for the last 6 years. In terms of thought leader events, we partnered with the Newspaper Association of South Africa early in June, hosting the 60th World Association of Newspaper Congress and the 14th World Editors Forum held in Cape Town. The Paris-based association represents 18,000 newspapers, and its memberships include national newspaper associations, companies, individual newspaper executives in 102 countries, 12 news agencies, 10 regional worldwide press groups. We hosted at our event alone 2,000 key opinion makers and influencers, a constituency with a very broad global footprint that we saw as critical in helping us to advance the IMC mandate. We collaborated with the LOC and the City of Johannesburg in leveraging the visit of three top German soccer players, a visit facilitated by our counterpart in Germany, the Land of Ideas Company, as a gesture of friendship and support to South Africa. We used this opportunity to showcase our state of readiness to both local and foreign media. We recently facilitated our second media tour. This time the focus was the 2010 Legacy Project, with a view to educating the South African public in general and the media in particular about the intended macroeconomic spin-off of the 2010 event. If we can unpack in a tangible way how this project is going to affect lives, the job of mobilizing national support and changing perceptions will be that much easier. In terms of the country managers, John Battersby in the UK has played a key role in managing the media around the regular visits by key ministers and government officials to the UK, Ministers Ngakula and Irwin and Themba Maseko of GCIS, which have all included encounters with groups of South Africans in London. These are paying handsome dividends. We're managing to build a strong team of global South Africans via these invited events. I think one of the highlights of the last 6 months was the major coverage given to us by the Financial Times, Alec Russell, who used to be in South Africa, and so he has a wonderful perspective because he had a 10-year gap. And he's doing wonderful stories where he's revisiting communities that he knew 10 years ago and seeing the development in them and really giving us excellent coverage in the Financial Times. So we're building really key media relationships, which I think is going to pay off long term. We also had a Sunday Times Old Mutual two-day briefing tour following the WAN conference. And again, we had 8 editors and senior editorial executives. And we challenged some of their thinking, and we put a very carefully composed information tour together for them. A major coup of the last 6 months was the visit of the Minister of Safety and Security, who engaged extremely well with the business leaders from London and engaged in robust discussion, which left the audience satisfied that the crime problem was being dealt with. Unfortunately, much of this work has been undermined by recent headlines. In India, our progress has been slow. The media interest in South Africa is low, and it appears that to change the paradigm, relationships with unavailable editors will have to be slowly built. Honestly, the only coverage South Africa gets in India is on the cricket. Jacques Cullis is the hero. He's the president of the country, as far as they're concerned, and it's the only time we get any coverage is when there's a cricket match being played. So it's terribly difficult to get the economic story told. 2 weeks ago we were there, and our minister was interviewed at length by the Economic Times, and it ended up being a 10-sentence story, you know. So it's very difficult to put our story into the Indian media, I must say. In the United States, we supported the IMC TISA trade mission by facilitating top-level interviews for the Minister of DTI. Unless we have a hard news story, it is very difficult to secure media coverage. Just the notion of a trade and investment mission is in itself not newsworthy. In November, we'll be supporting the Corporate Council of Africa convention taking place in Cape Town. It's anticipated that at least 400 U.S. business leaders and 1,000 African business leaders will converge to maximize investment opportunities on the continent. This will be an important interface with people who are already committed to doing business on the continent, and it's the first time that the CCA is actually coming to have a conference in Africa. Global South Africans is slowly becoming a reality. We have now engaged around 150 top South Africans in the UK and the US who are willing to be brand ambassadors and willing to promote South Africa on our behalf. As I said to you, our key strategic thrust for this year has been alignment. At a national level, the business brand positioning encompassing both investment and export pillars is almost complete. The export draft sub-brand positioning strategy was shared with the Director of Export Promotion at the DTI, and further input solicited from the export councils representing various economic sectors. A major shift forward has been that South African Tourism and the IMC have decided, as much as our work is already very clearly aligned, we've decided to collapse it into one. We're going to have one brand for brand South Africa, and they will then interpret it for tourism, and we will interpret it for investment and for other missions. So we're not even going to have two different brand keys. We're going to have one brand key. That work is almost complete. It will be complete in the next few weeks. But it will bring our work closer together, and then we're going to start looking at the creative work to see, even within the creative work of South African Tourism and Brand South Africa, can we make the similarities very tangible so that a South African tourism ad looks as if it comes from our organization. The IRPS cluster has set up a technical team to provide a framework for a coordinated approach to market South Africa, and the IMC has representation on the committee to provide direction from a messaging as well as a brand architecture point of view. So far, workshops have been conducted by the committee to consult with key stakeholders who will impact or are directly involved with the delivery of the framework, and we have delivered a presentation on the architecture principles as well as the national message and the relationship it has with the tourism and the business brand. The test market within the IRPS cluster is going to be China, so we're definitely looking at how we're going to get involved. There's a group of people from that cluster visited China 3 weeks ago to see whether it's going to be an adequate test market for us. And if it is, then everybody, foreign affairs, all the relevant government departments and the IMC will come together to put this test case together. So we're really starting to see the leveraging and the maximizing of everybody who's marketing South Africa, which really is our mandate, but it's a terribly difficult mandate to deliver on because we can't instruct those people. We can only engage them and inspire them and ask them to join us on the journey. So it's quite a tough thing to be responsible for. In terms of provincial alignment, we've made dramatic moves in this area. The Gauteng sub-brand has been completed and is now at the very final buy-in stage with the relevant structures with Gauteng. The Eastern Cape draft is almost complete and creative work has been developed. Limpopo has had an engagement with officials in the office of the Premier and we're now waiting for a date with the DG. We've presented to the Provincial Executive Committee in the Northern Cape and we've almost completed that positioning statement. The Mpumalanga Provincial Government has outsourced the development of their brand to an outside supplier with whom we are engaging to ensure alignment. A presentation has taken place to key stakeholders in Northwest, and shortly we're going to KZN and Western Cape. Now, why this is again important is because all of the provinces are marketing themselves. So again, if we can get one framework, one direction, one look and feel, we're starting to maximize taxpayers' money in terms of how we market the country. So these are long, slow processes. I mean, we've been talking to you about the Eastern Cape for about 3 years, but we're finally bringing this thing to fruition. I mean, it's very difficult because we rely on them to implement it, and the wheels turn slowly. In terms of international work, our quest to create work that is bold, challenging, mind-opening, and sophisticated will also be expanded into the work we do in the international arena. We're currently producing a new television commercial promoting South Africa as an investment destination. And again, a major breakthrough for the first time, DTI is contributing to this ad. They've been part of the thinking process, they've signed up the script, and we're doing it in collaboration together. So this is a giant leap forward for us. It's something we've been working at for the last 6 years. That ad will be flighted only on CNN and will be ready within the next 4 weeks. And I think it's going to be a beautiful piece of communication. South African Story, which you're all very familiar with, we've commenced distribution of that to key stakeholders. We've sent over piles of French and English translations for the Rugby World Cup in France, which South African Tourism distributed for us. And we're really beginning to see that we can work through others as we build those key relationships. The latest annual report is complete, and I'm sure that you've all seen it. There are certainly copies here, and I know that there are copies at GCIS, but I think you should all have received your copy. I'm going to hand over shortly to the CFO, who will take you through very quickly a finance presentation in terms of where we are. You will notice one gap amongst the people sitting here. You'll notice that Kepi Moremi, who was the marketing director for 6 years, and who really played an amazing role in the foundation work of the IMC, has really sadly left us. He said that during 6 years of national service, it was time to go and make some money, and he has gone on to FNB. But he really played an astonishing role in creating some of the initial strategies that have given the IMC direction, and so in public we want to salute and thank him for his work. We have two really stunning young brand managers who are holding the fort at the moment, and tomorrow or Thursday we are interviewing a second round of interviews for a marketing director. Trying to find a marketing director for Brand South Africa is quite a challenge, because they've got to be the best in the country, you know. We can't have anything less. So we're interviewing on Thursday, and we hope that within by the time we next report, we'll have an ensconced marketing director fulfilling that position. Thank you. I'm going to hand over to Maleksi.
Thank you, Wanda. These financial statements that I'm reading out today, they have been authorized or approved by our board on the 26th of July in this year. And mainly, I'm just going to quickly run through the governance issues that relate to organization, which the executive authority, which is the minister and the president, in the presidency was reported to be, was actually the board reports to, actually held quarterly meetings with both the chairman, the CEO, and the GCIS CEO. The exco and the board sat in the planned quarterly meetings to fulfill the fiduciary responsibilities. And the audit committee sat quarterly in line with their responsibility, namely to review the system of internal control, to review the audited financial statements, and also to review the auditor general's management letter and management responses to those issues that the auditor general raised. And the financial statements were prepared using the appropriate accounting principles supported by prudent judgment and estimates conforming to the trust deed, the PFMA, the GRAP, and GAP. And the role of the chairman and that of the CEO are separated. Therefore, the board, under the responsibility of the board, of the chairman, created sufficient space to maintain overview of the IMC's effectiveness, efficiency, board performance, and board governance. The CEO is delegated with the responsibility of day-to-day running of the IMC. And the internal audit was out during this financial year, was actually outsourced from GCIS for 9 months, and thereafter we appointed a contractor through a tender process to actually monitor the operations of internal control and report to management and audit committee. The board, through its audit committee subcommittee, provides oversight of the financial reporting process and internal control. And the CEO actually meets with the board, the exco and audit committee by invitation to discuss issues that relate to the management of the organization. The risk management workshop was held, and the focus area was to assist management to strengthen adequacy and effectiveness of accounting systems and internal control, to actually come up with a fraud prevention plan, and which was actually implemented in the financial year. The disaster recovery plan was also implemented, and materially significant framework was developed and discussed with Auditor General and approved by the board and implemented in the year under review. In the year ending March 2007, we were allocated 83.4 million by GCIS, and we claimed that from SARS to the tune of 5.5 million, and corporate advertising 676, coming to a total of 89.6 million. And the expenditure, as you can see, was the major expenditure item there was actually the marketing cost to the tune of 4.9 million, and the rest were operating costs coming to 5.8, and even staff costs coming to 14.7, and the audit fees coming to 309. And this gave us a total a surplus of 1.8, which surplus was actually committed to projects that were initiated in the 2007 financial year ending, and Treasury actually approved the rolling over of those funds. As at year end, there were no debtors that were written off for the year end. There was only one debt of a former employee that was seconded from GCIS, and the matter has been handed over to his lawyers who are just waiting for Ganesha orders to be served. And the litigation is with the same employee where we went through CCMA, and this matter was ruled in favor of the IMC and the CCMA. As we are sitting, this actually case went through the court of through the labor court, and it was actually thrown out of the labor court based on some technicalities which the complainant did not meet, and we are actually awaiting some further notice to that matter. And human resource, we achieved this mandate that the CEO just indicated with 37 people. Of those 37 people, three are country managers in India, UK, and the US. Five are the management team, which are with us here today. And except five of us are here today.
Yeah, okay.
And the middle management is 623 general staff. And of that, 83.78% is the previously disadvantaged individuals. Of that, and 62 is female. So we are quite compliant with the South African legislative system. All accounting policies were recommended by the audit committee for approval by the board. And irregular expenditure relating to the previous financial manager in the year 2002-2003 was reported in this case. And this it was actually around the stealing of money of 798, which and IMC opened a criminal case against that. He was subsequently sentenced to 12 years in prison with 4 being suspended. Yeah, I think in the interest of time, the rest are just I'll just end up.
Thank you, Minister. We've had a clean audit, a completely clean audit. I don't even think there were any matters of emphasis, were there? We had the one issue was the tax for our country managers, and we subsequently resolved that issue. The only other comment I want to make was, I think somebody asked at our last presentation was about my contract, because my contract, the second term of my contract comes to an end now, but in fact the board have asked me to stay until December 2010, so I have renewed my contract for the next 3 years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Here we are, questions, comments? Mr. Kumalo.
Thanks, Chair. The country managers of UK, USA, I'm not so sure what I've found. In the past 3 years, I had asked the IMC. But you see, there's a perception in the continent that crime is very high in South Africa. These are said by fellow Africans, and also as we proceed towards the 2010. Those who might have seen the beginning of the Big Brother program on GSTV. There's been a persistent comment about the level of crime in Africa, in South Africa. Now, I'm not so sure at some point, at that point in time, we would consider to have a campaign that would actually go or targeting the continent, because I think the fact that it looks like South Africa starts from here, go to Europe, you know, France and America, and I think it's a something that you might want to look into, for some time. The second point, Chairperson, that I've raised, and which I'm sure is a battle that I must consider that I've lost, it is the concerted effort by various industries and companies to try and make fellow white South Africans to live and settle in Sydney, Perth, in Australia. I said that is a country that might be one to want to look into. Not that we must work with the return, what is it called, the campaign, homecoming, no, yes, no, not necessarily the homecoming issue, but it's something that I thought we would want to pay attention to. It's not necessarily having a country manager there, but it's some country that has got a very large population of South Africans have settled there, you know, and there continue to be perception that is a way out of the country in the event of crime and other things. So, sure, those are the things, but I must say, sure, that the issues that you have raised also in the IMC, most of them, that pertains to capacity, the issue that relates to funding, because you see, if you've got a country that's got so many problems, actually we before, when we discussed if we want them, then we looked into this country having a conference of encouraging possibilities. You know, economic growth, political stability, dealing with crime, the 0.6% or 0.4% that was increasing of growth, and quite a number of good things. We won the World Cup, to hold the World Cup and stuff like that. Now, the issue that then becomes quite prominent is if the ability to execute all the mandates and run campaigns with the recent budget that they have, is a matter that we've also raised with the GCI. It's a matter of concern that affects both MDDA and the ANC, because you see, both of them, they get their money from the GCIS. And once the GCIS has allocated them $89 million, and it has been incremental only the GCIS, I must say, the IMC has been much better, in a better position compared to MDDA. There's been quite an incremental, substantial amount of money for them. I think for now, they've done quite a number of things we've required them to do in the past, except those small things, administrative, that they've dealt with. But I must say that it's quite impressive. Even now, I normally ask very difficult financial related matters, but I do not have any question related for you today. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a few questions. On one of the pages here, page 9, I think, where she says something about the marketing director who has resigned. If you could share with us why he resigned. And I can see you struggling getting one. Do we need to have huge qualifications to fill the post? Why is there a problem on this? The other one is on further page, after the yellow page, where on this page 2 of that, South Africans abroad, that research, if you could share with us the result of that research, if available. Then the last question will be on the issue of foreigners who are coming to our country. Whether to all foreigners who are here have been, you went abroad and motivated for them to come here, and have you done this? Skills, what each of them, what skills they bring into the country? I see some of them are shop owners and all that. But what skill that could contribute to our economy? Most of them do have. Thank you.
Yeah, from my side, couple of questions. Then you want to say something as well? Okay. You see, I think it's easy to market a positive development in the country. And it's a question of riding a wave and capitalizing on it. But when there are negative developments, take the issue of crime. You might, you know, run a fairly intensive campaign, and then you get the death of a major musician. And 6-7 months of work just goes down the drain because of the statue of the person, the profile of the person, say in the music world or anywhere else. Do we have a realistic message that we are putting out on crime? A message that is understandable to people outside? I don't know what your message is. Is your message that, look, the crime is coming down in the country and that you just have some episode that doesn't confirm that? Or is the message really saying that, look, we've got a problem, these are the steps that we've taken, we're succeeding in some respects, but we've also got other work to do. What is the actual message on crime? Because I really don't think we can run campaigns sort of, at, you know, sporadically on this issue. Because events, I mean, one incident overtakes everything else sometimes, and then we start again from scratch. So I'd like to understand the content of that. The second thing is that India might be a difficult year, but did we really capitalize on the visit of Sonia Gandhi to this country? I mean, that has been a rare visit. Although she's not a high, I mean, she's not an, she's not holding any official position in government except that she's a member of parliament. But for the party leader to have come here, did we really capitalize on this one, on, you know, India? And then the last question I have is, what do we anticipate, I mean, which countries do we see as our major growth points, either from a tourism point of view or business and trade, etc.? Is that in the East? My sense is that it's in the East. And do we have a strategy in place to market South Africa in a completely different way? Because the messaging and the psychology of people in the East is very different from people in the West. What people in the West might respond to, you might not get a similar kind of response from people in the East. So are we looking at some kind of messaging on the East?
Jefferson, thank you. Devon, thank you for extending your contract. I think it also stabilizes stuff when you have two senior people living in a short space of time. It doesn't always are good for those that remain blind. But suddenly we read something which doesn't exist. So, you know, you need to manage that. I can imagine last weekend a sporting achievement gives you so much material. So 2010 to work from. You know, Africa, home of the world champs, up you, All Blacks, done with you, horses, trouble of, you know, all of those things that is there. But it's true. If you take it, the brand name, the Springboks, you are Abana and all of that, I can imagine the filter with the president being held high by the players, and that's all of that. Absolutely good material that you can work from. But it's good. You're doing good work outside, but I'm, you know, you talk to some South Africans inside the country. They sound like foreigners, as if there's a bunch of no open. Is some of those good material that you either research on that you had that you work from about South Africa, is it available that we can use inside our country? Or sometimes you just need to bring that to a sense and say, you know, it's not that bad. These are all the good things which you can market to the people outside. I understand it's not your responsibility to market Africans or Africans in the country. But, you know, any other organization or department that wants to use it, is it available? Thank you.
Cheers, thank you. I didn't want to speak, but I just want to add on to something that you asked. I was just thinking about something. But first of all, let me just thank you for your sterling work you're doing. That's why there's not a lot of questions. Just the one question, and it relates to crime. In the international arena, and leaving aside the doomsayers and the dooms prophets, and I won't mention which countries they are, we all know where the negative perception against us as a country is, well, sometimes right. But if you look at the rest of Africa and the broader base of the world, is there a perception there that we in South Africa in general and government in particular is in denial about the seriousness of our crime situation? Is there such a perception?
Thank you, Chair. I don't know if I can even remember all the current questions, so give me a break, I'll come back to you. Okay, thank you all for the questions, and thank you for not having too many. It's fantastic to be in a situation where the work is appreciated, because we do work hard. We've got a small team of people who are very dedicated to the job that we do. Mr. Kamalo, you know, every time you ask us these questions, and so they're very much part of our thinking, and I have to say that we feel the same as you do about the marketing of South Africa through Africa. We take it to our board repeatedly, and the board says there's just not enough money to allocate to this project. However, I think that there are a number of ways of skinning this cat, and I think that, one of the reasons that we supported and endorsed Africa the Good News was to do the kind of work that you're asking us to do, was to start to tell the good news stories that are coming out of Africa. I spend quite a lot of time going to various countries in Africa, helping them with their branding initiatives and just trying to get African countries to tell their own success stories. But in the end, it is our responsibility to tell the African story. I think it's very easy for us to say the narrative on Africa is not good. It is my opinion that in the last 3 years, the African narrative has shifted dramatically. I think there are many good news stories coming out of Africa now. There's stories of good governance, there's stories of good business investments, there's stories of China and India investing in Africa and making a lot of money, and ultimately those are the stories that are going to change perceptions. We don't have an Africa country manager, but the World Cup is giving us the opportunity to tell Africa's story. We've got to be a little bit cautious that South Africa doesn't look arrogant in telling the African story either, because I don't think we can take it upon ourselves that responsibility to tell the African story. Because already there's a perception in Africa that South Africa are like neo-colonialists and we're going to tell other African countries what to do. So we've got to tread with a bit of humility and a bit of caution there. However, we do agree with you that the African story has to be told. And our story has to be told in Africa, which is the story of picking up on the crime issue. So we haven't got a specific campaign targeting the continent, but South African Tourism, for example, are spending quite a substantial budget in both Kenya and Nigeria marketing South Africa. So the alignment between South African Tourism and Brand South Africa is very important, particularly in those two major markets. We also, I think, there are massive opportunities in the Gulf countries who are very comfortable doing business in Africa and with South Africa. There are massive, massive investment opportunities there. So we're looking with DGI about how can we get the message spread more coherently and more consistently in those countries. Australia is a difficult one because the research we were asked about a minute ago, a lot of the research coming from Australia it's the most negative perceptions on South Africa are coming largely driven by many South Africans who have left South Africa and the Australian media who do love the crime story they do revel in that story as far as South Africa is concerned. So the research has shown us that actually we would have to do such a major job in Australia to change perceptions, and we just don't have the resources to do it at this stage. In addition to which, it's neither a major tourism destination nor is it a major investment destination. The IMC has to take its lead from other government departments. We can't work in isolation. We take our lead from foreign affairs, from DTI, and from South African tourism, which is why we have currently looked at London and Washington as the media hubs of the Western world, and why we are now moving to the East. Because I think as South Africa, if we did not see ourselves as the bridge between the East and the West, and being able to really operate as the middleman almost between the East and the West, because of where our ports are, because nearly every ship that sails around the world passes our ports. And I also think because of our political status, we are very well positioned to market to the East and the West. We, you know, because of the stance we take on the various issues that affect both sides of the world. Our opinion is that our focus must definitely move to the East. And despite the fact that India is a difficult market for us to operate in, I think if we didn't operate in it, we'll be doing catch-up in 10 years' time. So I think despite the difficulty of trying to get South Africa onto the radar screen with the Indian media, we have to pursue this and we have to work hard at it, because 10 years from now, we have to have a very, very strong alliance with India and China. I think I reported already on the IRPS cluster, which is going into China. That's going to be a huge project that is going to be multi-departmental, and I think it's going to be a very exciting project for South Africa as an entity to embark upon. So we are definitely seeing, if you said to me today, where would our next country manager be, I would almost certainly say Beijing. I think that if we had the money, that is where we would go. And maybe the IRPS cluster is going to force us to put a country manager in there, and then we will have more tangible results. Moving on to the other questions, why did Kepa resign? You know, I think 6 years is a long time to work in an organization. If you're a young, black, smart, and all of those things in South Africa today, he's an enormously clever person who has built an amazing network while he's been at the IMC. He's became a very marketable commodity. I'm astonished that we managed to keep him for 6 years, to be honest, because he's so many opportunities have been placed in front of him. Being the strategic person that he is, he was being offered many opportunities to get involved in GEE deals, but he didn't understand corporate finance. And so as part of the next part of his developmental journey, he wanted to learn about corporate finance, and so he's gone to F&B to study exactly that. So I should expect you'll see Tip Morini as a mogul 10 years from now, because he does things in the right sort of strategic way. Why is it difficult to fill? Well, it's difficult to fill because, A, he leaves big shoes to fill. Secondly, we want the best talent we can find in the country working for Brand South Africa. And thirdly, my two brand managers that we have hired, Sophie Masipa and Vuyelwa Nyakaza, are so brilliant that to find somebody who is good enough to be their boss is a challenge for us. We have two really, really, really good brand managers who are doing a fantastic job. And it's quite a challenge to find somebody who is better than them to come and be their boss. But we are going to continue looking. The research results, we have actually provided the full set of this research to the portfolio committee. I'm very happy to give it to you again. I'm not really the right person to give you all the research results because I don't have them on the tip of my tongue. What I can tell you is that we research why people leave South Africa, we research their perceptions of South Africa, and we research why they want to do business or don't want to do business with South Africa. The overwhelming feedback that we get is, for a start, and this is a sad reality, is that South Africa is not really on the radar screen. We are a long way away, we're a long-haul destination, and most people in Europe, if you look at investments in Europe, you will find that most countries invest in countries around them. So that's why a lot of investment is pouring into Poland, into Turkey, into places like that. They're familiar with those territories, it's easy for them to reach, the geography is manageable. Investing in South Africa is much more complex because we are a long-haul destination. So, I mean, the research is quite sobering for us because we tend to think that we're terribly important in everybody's eyes around the world, and we have to come to the harsh conclusion that we're not, and we have to understand that the IMC's work to put South Africa on the radar screen is quite a big task for us to try and accomplish. But I'm very happy to send you the full results. I don't know that I'm doing them justice. In terms of the skill orders of foreigners arriving here, we don't do that because I do know that GIPSA is doing that. We work closely with the GIPSA office within the Deputy Presidency, and we get facts and figures from them, but we don't work intimately with them. We talk to them about what can we do to help market GIPSA, which is our job. In terms of sharing our information and our knowledge, in the pack we put together for you, there's one waiting at the door. I think they were distributed this morning. I put together a whole conglomeration of information so that you could get the gist of the kind of stuff that we do. I've put in there, in the middle, our newsletters. Now, the newsletters is sent out twice a month to a database of people who opt in to receive the newsletters from the southafrica.info web portal. And we now distribute this letter to about 10,000 people every 2 weeks. So if you want a regular flow of what is the good news that is happening in South Africa, all you have to do is actually send us your email address or opt in from the web portal, and this becomes an automatic supply to you. And all it really is the top 5 or 6 stories a week of the week or of the fortnight of good things that are happening in South Africa. So it gives you quite a good overview of constantly what is happening that is positive in the country. And we get very, very good response from those newsletters, and increasingly people are asking for them. In terms of the messaging on crime, Chair, also in that pack is a document called Talking Points. And that is how the IMC manages challenges. We don't think getting defensive helps. And in fact, I think that much of the comment that comes sometimes from our leadership is overly defensive, and I don't think it helps the situation. What we believe helps is to talk about what is being done about the challenges. You know, the truth is that crime is all over the world, and it was interesting for me being in India, where you know that it is not, it is also a complex society with massive poverty that's much more in your face than in South Africa. It's right in front of you wherever you go. And yes, there's a sense that you are safe there. But we also know that lurking in the underworld, there's massive crime, and there's very violent crime, much as there is in South Africa, and yet it's not a topic of discussion in India. And this was very interesting for me, because we are very consumed with this topic as the IMC and as Brand South Africa. We're constantly defending it. It's always the first question. So what we've done in Talking Points is we've given, and this is updated on a monthly basis on our website, which is why we don't really print them. We just update it on an ongoing basis. What we say here on safety, and maybe one more point before I sort of read out the talking point. We're also trying to talk about a safe and secure South Africa as opposed to crime. I'm involved in a project at the moment with the South African police, the JCPS cluster, where we're talking about what can we do about this crime situation? How can we engage communities? How can we engage individuals? And I said to them the other day, let's not have a project that's called anti-crime. Let's have a project called Creating a Safe and Secure South Africa, which gives a sense of hope. It gives a sense that you can, as a person who's not involved in crime, you can still have hope. You can still make a difference. You can still participate. And so we're trying to shift the dialogue to discussing safety and security, not crime. But the talking point here is that many countries at South Africa's stage of development are battling rising crime rates, slowly but surely, with a typical mix of innovation, practical problem-solving, and public-private partnership, South Africa is turning back the tide. That's the talking point. That's our starting point for the discussion. And then we give a whole lot of very practical things that South Africa is doing to fight crime. Real facts and figures, we put the real crime statistics in there, but we also talk about what communities are doing. And I think there are lots of community initiatives starting now to rise up against crime, as people are saying, we've had enough of this issue. We really want to take back our streets and take back our psyches and live in a better country. So we really try and talk facts and figures. We try to talk specifics about what is being done about the issues, because we believe that if you're honest, you put the issue on the table, it disappears to an extent. The minute you try and duck and dive, it becomes an issue, and the media tries to fill that vacuum with negative information. So we try to be very, very factual on all of the challenges, and Talking Points deals with all of them, from nuclear proliferation to whether we'll be ready for 2010 to HIV and AIDS to the presidential succession. We deal with all of them. And they are in this document, and if anybody ever wants an update, all you have to do is ask, and we will provide it. Let me see if there are any other questions. Sonia Gandhi's visit. Oh, no, there was an issue around your issue, Chair, about whether the message we put out on crime can be realistic. You know, I think that issues like David Rattray's death, Talib Peterson, Lucky Dube, these are massive issues for South Africa, because all they do is just entrench the perception that's there, and it's very difficult for us. I have to say in public, this is very difficult for us to deal with, because we are very positive, and we know we've got a positive story to tell, but it gets undermined by these negative influences. One of the campaigns that the police are doing is, I think, hitting the nail on the head, because it's about taking the few thousand people in South Africa out of 47 million who are disrupting the country. And I really think it's time to start taking those few thousand and alienating them and making their lives really difficult, because we are being held hostage by a very small number of people in South Africa. I truly, truly believe that the majority of South Africans are good, upstanding citizens who are moral, who want to have a good life and a better life for their children and for the people around them, and who have a fantastic community spirit. I have to believe that. And I think what our job at the IMC is to link into the goodness that resides in South Africa. Our latest research shows that 97% of South Africans say they're proud to be South African. That's enormous. There are no other countries in the world that have those sort of figures. And we've seen it in the last week with the Bok win. I mean, everybody has just celebrated this amazing event. Everybody has come together, and it doesn't matter who you are, what color you are, we've celebrated. And this morning at the airport, there were vuvuzelas welcoming the Bok, and I thought, this is it, you know. This is like, this is the pinnacle of what we can achieve. And in a way, we've got to bottle this moment and say, we can do it, so now how do we entrench it? And that is our job and our challenge. Sonia Gandhi's visit. We expected massive coverage in Indian media on Sonia Gandhi's visit, to be honest. We thought it would be a big, big story. It was a tight, the only coverage of the entire visit was one page, page three, and it was the picture of her with Madiba. It was two-line captions. There was no story, and that flabbergasted me. I thought it would be a massive story. Whether we did enough of a story here, I think we did a better story of it here than India did, to be honest. We saw it as an opportunity. Maybe we didn't milk it enough. It's a good point, an important point. both points for tourism and trade and industry, definitely we see the East as our future growth point. Randy, your question, are we going to use the box? Absolutely, I think we must. I think, you know, we had a seminal moment in 1995, one of the best moments in South Africa's history, I think, if to hold on to that moment when Madiba walks onto the field. I think we've had another one this week. And I think what we've got to learn from 95 is that we let that feeling dissipate too quickly. I think what we've got to do now is hold on to the unity that has been created in South Africa and use it leading up to 2010. We keep saying to South Africa, we've done it before, we can do it again. And I think this time we've really got to try and hold on to it. Mr. Swart, your question on the perception...
What can you imagine the last 2 minutes, the president running on the field as a flank, you know, replacement for the last 2 minutes on the field?
He would have got murdered.
He would never even get murdered. He would have this moment.
No, you can't apply for the job as a marketing director. with respect. Mr. Swart, your question on perception of whether we deny crime. You know, I think it's very easy for the media to say we deny this issue on crime. I think the reality is that this is not being denied by our government at all. Outside, is that our perception? If it is a perception, I think it's an unfair perception. And that perceptions often are unfair. I think that our government has stood up repeatedly and said this is our number one issue and we are trying to fight it. And certainly when we took Thabo Mbeki to London and he interacted with the investors there, he did a fantastic job. I have to say, he was absolutely brilliant. And he really spoke with conviction and knowledge and understanding of the issue. So I think within an important sector of the British investor community, we shifted perception. I don't think it's a fair perception, and I think the only way we're going to move away from that perception, if it is there, is by putting the issue on the table and discussing it. The minute you try and duck and dive, the media will fill the vacuum. There's no question. So there's only one way for me, in my opinion, for us to deal with challenges, and that is to admit them, to admit where we've made mistakes, and to try and honestly deal with them. I hope I've answered all the questions adequately.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got just two questions on your financials. First question will be, I've heard you have country managers in India, blah, 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 but I don't see reflecting on their salaries vis-a-vis their taxes all together or on your financials. The second question is the board. They don't even get a travel allowance or something. If it doesn't appear anything, if you could just brief us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The country managers, because of the nature of their job, it has been actually classified as and lumped within the marketing costs of the annual financial statement that were reported at financial year end. And coming to the board are not, in fact, it's the job that they're doing is for free. They are not being paid for anything.
All right, so there's no further questions. I really want to compliment you for the wonderful work you're doing. I was quite impressed when I read the report, so keep up the good work, and you've got our support for this one.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for your support. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks. We need to spend a few minutes just to finalize our names for the shortlisting so that we then can start inviting and finalizing. We were good enough this morning to get five names, agreement on five names. Can we proceed because we just want to... Ms. Johnson, can we proceed? We are going to continue. Right. Mr. Kumalo. And DA. How can we streamline these names and get three more by consensus? Nobody must leave now because we must have a quorum. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, nobody can leave from the embassy. No, no, no.
Yes, Mr. Clark. Can we add number 5 to our consensus?
But on the condition we drop number 4.
Oh, well, we'll get to number 4 just now.
Number 5? Has the AMC proposed number 5? Is fine.
Like this, we are prepared to accept that.
Thank you very much.
Actually, well, let me then address you on number 4. We really feel serious about this matter. I mean, I think in terms of this, of the interactions of the, with GCIS this morning, it is quite clear what happened. What the answers we got there are not the full story. You know, for Parliament to eventually got to a point that they give instructions to the Justice Committee to recover debt of 1.8 million, there's a lot more to this than that. We're sitting with a CV of a person that clearly indicates that he has been working in various positions over these years. I'm not happy at all with the answers I gave us, but that's not the point and to discuss now. But you know, I just don't think that we can really go about supporting even a shortlisting of that name. I really call on the agency to show some concern or acknowledgement for decisions taken by this Parliament in terms of that specific person, which clearly should render him unacceptable.
No, sir, we did not review our position on that case because, you see, it's unfortunate that the Democratic Alliance discussing the issue of the GCIS, then pick up the matter from GCIS and put it on the matter that got to do with MTT. We would only drop the name in terms of agreeing with them, but not on the basis of what is to contain in the report of GCIS, because we've not even had an opportunity to listen to the person himself, whatever that, because to now drop him on the basis of this issues and what is being said, it would be unfortunate. But we are willing to leave the name on the basis of us agreeing on the other name, not on the basis of what it is being said. Thank you.
We've got consensus on 6 names. We need to get 2 more. And there's a window that's open with regards to Mr. Kutani that's from the ANC side. We've got Gugu Mtiri, number 2. We've now agreed on number 5, Masemola. We've agreed on 8, Hein Mare. We've agreed on 9, Sidibe Mini. We've agreed on 13, Devon Rinfalei. And we've agreed on Guy Berger, 23. Five. At 6. Mr. Kumalo,
in terms of the numbers here, because,
yeah. Oh,
yeah. We had number, let's start with number 2, sorry, just number 2, Chairperson.
Yeah.
That is Gugu Mtiri.
Right.
No, I want to start as we drop the, yourself, honorable member, Matt. You just follow that, and then after 2, Chairperson is number 4.
Right.
This is Solomon, and all of you drop Solomon, and then we've got number 5.
Right.
We should agree upon Masemuna. We had number 8, Hein Mare, we agreed. We had number 9, we also agreed. Number 10, the Chair Gonkaika, which I do not hear the name with the opposition. And then we've agreed on Professor Devon Pillay, number 13. We've got number 17 also here, which is Roslyn Mullins from our side, which the opposition did not mention. And then 23, that will be... So what it means, we would then have 2 names added there. That will be Gonkaika, Van Kreuker, and number 17, Mullins. Mullins,
I'm sorry, I'm just taking a look at all things.
No, Monday. Sorry?
Are we agreeing on Mullins?
No, we did not.
Yes? We can. So now we've got seven, so we need to agree on one more name now. But you can live with Namonde. Number 10. Agreed? So. Number?
Number Kesha? That's what Paul says. Yeah, we must say she was not on our list.
Agreement, can I go to the 18? It's Google and Siri, Samsanka Masemola, Hey Mare, Sidibe Mingi, Nomonde Konreka, I hope I get it right. Professor Javendran Palay, Roslyn Mullen, and Professor Guy Berger. Agree? Thank you very much. You can have another cup of coffee. Eight names. So you're going to contact them for the interviews. Can I suggest, members, can we try and do these interviews in one day, next week? Because we've got Monday, Tuesday, and we've got a bit of Wednesday and a bit of Friday, but I really want us to finish up on Tuesday, so just schedule them and push it through. Tuesday. Right? So that we clear them out and we try and limit to 30 minutes an interview, unless it's necessary we go to 45 minutes. Yeah, no, we schedule for the whole day. Good? Rita and Rebecca? That's fine. Good. Is there anything else that we need to discuss? Randy, you got your hands up? Yes, you can go home. Good night.